Day by day, I became stronger and more capable of physical exertion. The first time Gigi took me out into the yard was a fascinating learning experience. As I stood on the front walk, I needed to be taught that the lines in the cement on the sidewalk were not significant and that it was okay for me to step on those. I needed to be told that, because otherwise, I didn't know. Then I needed to be taught that the line on the edge of the sidewalk was important, because there was a dip there into the grass, and if I was not careful, I could twist my ankle. Again, I didn't know that, and I needed to be told. And then there was the grass. I needed to be shown that the texture of the grass was different from the texture of the pavement, and that sinking down into the grass was okay. I just needed to pay attention and adjust my balance. Gigi let me feel what it was like to walk on snow, and she held me while my foot slipped on ice. If she was going to exercise me outside, I had to relearn that each of these textures had different features, characteristics, and their unique hazards. She kept reminding me, "What's the first thing a baby does with anything you give it?" The answer, of course, is that it puts it in its mouth to feel it. Gigi knew I needed to have direct physical contact with the world to learn kinesthetically. She was a brilliant teacher. The upcoming surgery was going to be a huge hit to my energy, and I was committed to being physically capable of enduring it. I felt that I had lost my brightness when the hemorrhage occurred, and my body felt dull and weary. It seemed as if there were a veil separating me from the world outside. Dr. Young assured us that surgically removing the blood clot from my brain could potentially shift my perception, and I might feel bright again. I figured that if I could get the brightness of my spirit back, then it didn't really matter how much I recovered, and I could be happy with whatever came my way. My apartment was located on a busy street in Winchester, Massachusetts, and my backyard abutted a complex of apartments for the elderly. The driveway through the complex made a loop, and Gigi would walk me around this natural track for exercise. I couldn't make it far in the early days, but with perseverance, we eventually made it all the way around the loop. Sometimes we would loop twice if the weather permitted. On the really cold days and the days of fresh snow, Gigi took me to the local grocery store for my daily exercise. She would go in and do her shopping, and I would start walking up and down the aisles. This was a painful environment for me for several reasons. First, the intensity of the fluorescent lights was so powerful I had to constantly look down. Gigi encouraged me to wear sunglasses to block out the glare, but this did little for the overpowering enormity of the room. Second, there was so much written information coming at me from all the food items that I felt totally bombarded with stimuli. Third, the exposure to strangers was difficult for me emotionally. It was easy for others to see that I was a woman with some sort of problem. My face had that glazed over look, and my movements were very deliberate and in slow motion when compared to the normal shopper. Many people rushed their baskets past me. Some even snarled and grumbled at me with what I interpreted as contempt. It was hard to shield myself from the negative vibrations in the environment. Occasionally, a kind spirit offered me assistance or a smile. I found facing the busy world to be intimidating and frightening. I was introduced to the mechanics of everyday life by accompanying Gigi when she needed to do things. I became her baby duck in training, and when I had enough energy, I followed her everywhere. Who would guess that a trip to the laundromat was excellent rehabilitation? After spending time in my apartment separating the light-colored clothing from the darks, we bagged them with care. Upon arrival at the laundromat, we dumped the bags into the washers. Gigi put a quarter into my hand and then a nickel and dime. I didn't know anything about money, so this was her chance to teach me. Again, the cells in my brain that understood mathematics were no longer functioning, and my attempt to deal with something so abstract as money was pitiful. When Gigi queried, "What's 1 + 1? I paused for a moment, explored the contents of my mind, and responded, "What's a one?" I didn't understand numbers, much less money. It felt as though I was in a foreign country with a currency I didn't understand. Repeatedly, Gigi and I engaged in monkey-see, monkey-do behavior. The washers all ended their cycles so close to one another that I suddenly went from having nothing to do to having an overwhelming quantity to do. First, we had to empty the washers. Then, before loading the dryers, we had to separate out the heavier items from the lighter ones. Gigi explained our strategy to me along the way. With my energy level, the washers were bearable, but frankly, the grand finale of the dryers was more demanding than I could cognitively manage. It was impossible for me to perform the dryer dance of pulling dry items out along the way and slamming the door closed quickly enough to keep the dryer spinning. I felt confused and desperate and wanted to crawl in a hole, hide my head, and lick my wounds. Who knew that laundry could evoke such panic in someone?